We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Everybody, welcome to the RotoWire NFL DFS podcast for week 14. I'm Scott Genstead, joined again tonight by Vlad Sedler. If you could please rate or review the podcast, that would be greatly appreciated. Wherever you happen to listen to us, if you happen to listen to us on iTunes, you can leave one there, Stitcher, wherever it may be. We would greatly appreciate that. If you want to follow us on Twitter, hit us up for some questions, get some info as the games get closer. I am at Scott Genstead, J-E-N-S-T-A-D. Vlad is at RotoGut, R-O-T-O-G-U-T. Vlad, week 14, how are you?
I'm good. I can't believe we're here. Just kind of hop, skipped, and jumped all the way over. And, season-long fantasy playoffs. Going to have some sweats going on there. Got my Jags defense with Matt Prater loaded up on pretty much every team. And just kind of doing the research for the week. Obviously, doing that for DFS will sort of help out the season-long teams as well. And just, you know, ready to help everybody crush.
Before we move on to week 14, how was your week 13?
You know what? It was okay. My main team was cruising for the most part through most of the early games, and in the end just ended up falling short. So really disappointed on that. Basically, couldn't fit the ended up not having the Ravens defense on that one, and you know Ravens were essentially my favorite play of the week. Gronk performed, and you know so that was nice, but sort of at a chalky-ish 20%. But I was pretty much in on Keenum with his targets there, Thielen and Diggs. Diggs again fell short, and then a lot of Breeze. I know you know we talked about it last week. You totally sold me on it, and I was all in. I thought it was a great suggestion, and as NFL fate would have it, the Kamara train just kept rolling.
Yeah, just ended up too many rushing touchdowns. You know, kind of the way it's been. Michael Thomas was pretty good. He had 70 yards and a touchdown, but Breeze definitely fell short. Only one passing touchdown. I really thought they would get a little more, but it seemed every time they got there, they got close to the passing game, and then they ran the ball in. So Didn't work out. You know, I mentioned on the pod how much I liked Tyreek Hill last week. That really worked out well. I had Travis Kelce in a bunch of spots. That was nice to get two touchdowns in the first 5 minutes. But after thinking I was going to have a huge day when Kelce started, it just kind of went downhill. No Alex Smith. And I had too much Jordan Howard. He really fell apart against the Niners. The Bears only ran like 36 plays or something crazy like that. You know, their offense is so bad, and they had the punt return touchdowns that took away a possession, and they just didn't have the ball the whole game. They couldn't stop. They couldn't stop the Niners. They couldn't get anything going. And you know, Howard's just a bum because of that the game flow reasons.
Yeah, and I just sort of went with the flow in cash games this week. Just sort of popping in Howard there. Just thought it was a great play. Thought game flow would really work out for them well. And now that's two busts in a row. And so, yeah, it's really disappointing. I know we'll talk about it a little bit later, but I think there's a potential for a little bit of a last week's chalk fail to potentially come through for us this week.
Yeah, too much Jordan Howard, and then Mike Evans let me down. But so mixed in those two bombs with some good plays, and just didn't quite get where I wanted to be.
Yeah, so I mean, at this point, I think it's on to week 14. I think we're locked and loaded with our prep and ready to help have everyone out this week.
Yeah, again, a big slate, no bye weeks. Just a note on FanDuel, we do lose the Sunday night game this week. They're doing the fan championship slate and a bunch of championship stuff. So the slate this week, just for 1 week only, does not have the Sunday night game. So no Sunday hammer this week on the main slate. So we'll skip that game. Tough games to miss, though. The Thursday night game, especially the Saints at the Falcons. Over under 53.5, by far and away the biggest total of the weekend. We lose that game. We lose the Steelers offense tonight. We lose the Patriots offense Monday night. So, maybe some diversity without those big offenses going on the mix in the main slate.
Yeah, and actually, for those that are interested, the big game this week is the $4 million NFL Fan Championship, and it's a $250 entry, $1 million to first. If obviously not going to recommend if you're not playing at that level to necessarily jump in. But hey, as we're getting here towards the end of the season, might be fun to, throw an entry in there if you're feeling really strongly about it. $1 million to first place at the moment out of approximately 18,000 entries. We've got over 10,000 filled. So if you're thinking about jumping in, you may want to do that soon.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that qualify that through different tournaments during the course of the year. So it should be a fun game. Let's move on to the main slate, though. Let's jump right into it. That's what everybody wants to hear about. Starting with an interesting game, Indianapolis at Buffalo. Should be some bad weather in this game. I talked to RotoWire's own Kevin Payne a little bit earlier. He said there's a lot of snow in Buffalo this weekend, a high of 24 on Sunday. He said tickets are easy to get and really cheap because nobody wants to sit there in the snow and watch Indy and Buffalo. Should be an interesting one that might affect the stats in this game. It is no line yet. Tyrod Taylor's questionable for this game, so we don't have a line yet. But starting on the Indy side, not a lot for me to like there. T.Y. Hilton's so boom or bust. Frank Gore is solid but doesn't really go off. Is there anybody on the Indy offense that you're thinking of playing at all?
I don't know. I think there's potentially some playable pieces here against just a really sloppy Bills defense. I mean, I'd probably give Gore some consideration. I think especially since this game, probably a game where we're going to see a lot more running. And, especially thinking that the Colts aren't really going to be playing from behind if Peterman is under center for the Bills. And, their run D just continues to get thrashed, the Bills, that is, since they traded Marcell Dareus. They've allowed 6.3 yards a carry last week to Lewis and Burkhead combined for the Patriots. And Gore does have at least 16 carries in all but one of his last five games. And that exception, of course, was the blowout against the Jaguars last week. So, but Gore did run at nearly 5 yards a clip. I mean, he just continues to be a machine. Obviously, more so of a tournament type of play if you are playing a few entries. And then with Hilton, again, if you're going to play him at all, it's going to be in a GPP type of spot. The Bills did lose their slot corner, Leonard Johnson, to a knee injury last week, and so we're not sure if he plays. It's likely that someone named Lafayette Pitts would step in to guard Hilton, which I think might definitely be a little bit of an upgrade for him.
Yeah, I just don't know on Gore in tournaments. Obviously, Frank Gore is one of my favorite players ever as a 49er fan, but he's topped 65 yards once all year, and while the carries have been there lately, he does have 50-plus yards the last 5 weeks, so he is put up some yards, but without, a chance to go over 100 yards, it's hard. He probably needs two touchdowns to really pay off in a tournament. Yep. He's not expensive, but it's just I just don't know if the upside is there for what you really want in a big tournament.
Yeah, and I do think Jack Doyle is worth a mention because his price just looks so fair. And, the Bills are allowing the fourth most receptions to opposing tight ends this season. And so I do think that Doyle is somebody who's going to get a lot of action, maybe more so on a full PPR site. But, you know, the Bills have only allowed two touchdowns to tight ends this season. But, you know, for me, I'm looking more at the receptions and the yards. I do think that Doyle is in play. What about for Buffalo here? I mean, you've got Kelvin Benjamin, who looks like he's going to be back for this game. Deontay Thomas, Thompson, sorry, and Zay Jones saw 15 targets combined last week, even though they did very little with it, catching just four targets. I'm not really too interested here with Buffalo with Peterman at the helm, but you know, what about McCoy? Does McCoy interest you in any way? I mean, he's really priced up there, 9,000 this week, the number one receiver, even ahead of Gurley.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that how expensive McCoy was. He's one of those guys that I really like him this week, but I would need I'd need Tyrod Taylor to play, and I don't know if that's going to happen. I just think that Tyrod opens up so much. You have to at least respect his ability to run the ball, and helps McCoy a lot. McCoy's interesting. You know, he's one of those guys that's really good at home and bad on the road. He has 114 yards from scrimmage per game at home this year, only 78 on the road. He's averaging nearly 5 yards per carry the last 5 weeks. So he's really been hot lately, 9 targets the last couple of weeks. So if they do get behind a little bit, which I don't anticipate in a game against Indy, he will catch the ball too. But I'm going to need to see what happens with Tyrod. He didn't practice today. He's considered day-to-day. They're going to kind of figure out what they're going to do with him. But it might limit his ability to scramble, which hurts his game. But I think for 9,000, I'm going to need him to play to think about McCoy.
Yeah, and I think the main issue here is that if Peterson is in, it just makes it all the more simpler for the Colts D to basically key in on McCoy. And, you know, honestly, the Colts D, they haven't been slouches of late. I mean, they held Fournette to about 3 yards per carry last week. You know, DeMarco Murray to under 1 yard per carry, but I think you and I could probably hold DeMarco under that these days. And Lev Bell to just three for carry in the previous week. And so obviously I'd be much more excited about him if Tyrod was starting. The one thing that I do have to look up, because they will be wearing their all red uniforms, I need to look up splits on how McCoy is done in all red, because hey, that matters.
I don't have the splits in front of me, but I tell you that Shady looks really fast in those red uniforms. There's no doubt about that.
Nice. All right, let's get on to the
real quick
more,
though. What about
this game?
What about the Bills D real quick? They're priced up at 5,300. The Colts get sacked a lot. 15 sacks the last three games. 5 straight games of at least 3 sacks given up. Brissett threw a couple of picks last week. Buffalo did sack Tom Brady 3 times last week. Any interest in the Bills D if the weather gets bad?
No, not at the price. I think that's going to basically be the fade for me. You know, yes, Brissett did throw a couple of picks, but I mean, basically over the last, you know, 7 games or so, he had only had 3 picks total. Buffalo's defense really doesn't scare me. I was actually kind of shocked, and of course I know about the sacks, but certainly shocked to see them priced as the number one defense this week.
Yeah, it would have to be some ugly weather for me to think about it, but I'm going to check that on Sunday morning. I might slide one in if it's snowing. Moving on to the next game, super low over-under, so we could probably get through this game pretty quick. The Bears at the Bengals. Cincinnati's favored by 6, over-under of only 37.5. Clearly an indication of how much nobody likes the Chicago offense. Mitchell Trubisky really struggling. They're super conservative. They do very little on offense. What about Jordan Howard? We touched on him real quick earlier, how he let a lot of people down last week against the 49ers. Are you going back to him, or are you a stay away this week?
No, I think if I'm playing 3 lineups, I just don't love the matchup. He's going to be a tough play for people in general, just coming off those 2 bad games in a row. People have that bad taste in their mouths after the chalk bust against the Niners last week. You know, though, the Bengals' run defense has actually sprung a few leaks when you compare them to the first half of the season, where they were much better. And I do expect this to be a game played heavily on the ground. So, you know, I'd actually consider a contrarian Howard this week. I think it's, you know, one of those things comparing against the other receivers. I wish he was cheaper, but I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if he came through and really stuck it to those who decided not to play him this week.
Yeah, he's priced down to 7,000. And a big note on the Bengals defense, Vontaze Burfict obviously had the concussion on Monday night, the hit from Juju Smith-Schuster. So he may not play, and that's, you know, that's their best run stopper among the linebackers. He's their best player on defense. I'm going to watch the Vontaze Burfict news pretty closely before I figure out on Jordan Howard. But at 7,000, I think he's an interesting play. But, you know, Tariq Cohen's kind of taking some targets away or some carries away again. He's getting a little more use. I'm a little worried about the game flow with Cincinnati as a favorite. Probably not very much Jordan Howard for me this week, but if Burfict doesn't play, I might start to think about it a little bit more.
Yeah, and I think in general, I mean, this is the game that folks are probably the least interested in. Yeah. I mean, it's a gruesomely low 37.5 total, tough matchups all around. I mean, I'd much probably more likely consider the defenses than the offensive players. But, you know, Inman actually interests me, Dontrell Inman. I mean, he's the only Bears receiver that I'd consider. And even so, I don't typically attack the Bengals pass defense. But that said, Adam Jones is dealing with a growing injury and may not play. So it's possible that Inman would be dealing with backup corner William Jackson. And so, you know, people look at a punt and getting off the sort of the typical Dede Westbrook or Marquise Goodwin where people are looking to save might look Inman's way. He is due for a score here.
Yeah, he scored last week, but only had two targets, which is a little disappointing, but moved up a little bit to 5,200. Yeah, I liked him more last week. Kind of okay on him this week. It's just so hard. You have to score pretty quick because Trubisky, and they just don't throw the ball very much. On the Cincy side, a guy I like this week at 5,100, Gio Bernard. He looked really good after the Joe Mixon concussion on Monday night. Got to think in the short week, there's a very good chance Mixon does not play. Bernard was 13 carries for 77 yards, also had a couple catches. He's averaging 4.21 yards per carry this year as opposed to Mixon, who's only at 3.3. On the flip side, though, Bears run D's good. They haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher all year long. What about Bernard at 5,100? That's really cheap on FanDuel.
He is. It's interesting. And we've seen a few plays sort of pop in out of nowhere. Jamal Williams a couple of weeks ago. And then, of course, he came through again last week. And then Peyton Barber, I definitely saw some people play him there. And so, it's definitely a possibility. The price is really, really good. Obviously, as you mentioned, the Bears haven't allowed a 100-yard passer, 100-yard running back to date. And Gio may not get that, but it really doesn't matter for the price. You really just want him to get in there once, maybe catch 4 to 5 passes and maybe get you 100 yards from scrimmage. That would definitely do.
Yeah, if Mixon sits, 5,100 is just really cheap for a starting running back. What about the big combo last week of Andy Dalton and A.J. Green played really well on Monday night? You know, Green went off in the first half. Didn't do anything in the second half except for drop a couple passes. But what about going back to A.J. at 8,300?
He's locked in right now. I mean, he could definitely work out well. He'll probably run at least a third of his routes on the right side in Kyle Fuller coverage as opposed to Prince McCamara on the other side, who's obviously been a much more stingy defender this year. Either way, I mean, you know, as usually with the case against this Bears defense, even though they are on the road, big plays may be hard to come by, sort of like they were last week. But that doesn't necessarily mean Green can't hang up, 100 yards on 5 or more catches. And so, I mean, either way, he's a top 5, receiver in general for the week. And so it really comes down to how you feel about him over maybe other options in his range. Perhaps him versus DeAndre Hopkins.
Andy Dalton, multiple passing touchdowns in the 6 of 7 games somehow. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. There's just something. I've got to sort of put my foot down in certain places, and I can't play Andy Dalton this week against Chicago. If he beats me, so let it be. I'm a pass.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. You know, there's 13 games on the slate. You gotta say no to some guys. And it's interesting, I think that on a slate like this, a lot of low over-unders, we've got to figure out, what's going to be the game that kind of turns into a shootout. Last week, Kansas City and the Jets turned into the shootout, and that was the game that won people a lot of money. And it's if you can find those games that, are unexpected shootouts, obviously, New Orleans, Atlanta, when they play, everybody expects that. But if you can get the game that's, 45 over-under and goes for 65, 70 points, that's really important. So hopefully we can figure out what we think that game is this week. Moving on to the next game, we've got anybody else on Cincinnati? Do you want to talk about the Bengals D at all?
No, and I just wanted to touch on your point. I mean, it's really tough. Obviously, you're going to see a lot of those people that hit on, 2% Alex Smith with Hill and, basically game stack that. These are people that, obviously there could be a couple people that have just, put it in as their only entry. But you've got a lot of multi-entry people out there. And, a lot of the listeners maybe just putting in a couple of lineups. And so, really it's just a matter of, your own discipline, like if or how much you're willing to lose, like if you're really feeling, if you're only building 3 lineups but you're really feeling a specific game, make sure you put that game stack in there as one of your 3 builds. Last week just happened not to work out for me, but I was really targeting the Minnesota offense. I like Breeze in the passing offense. And so, sometimes it's important to really take your stands, use the week to sort of get to that right decision, to come to that conclusion and sort of, go with the gut, so to speak.
Yeah, I think the Bengals D, just go back on that, will be pretty popular. They're only 4,600. My only concern there is the Bears are just so conservative. They don't make a lot of mistakes because they just don't do anything. So it's, but if the Bengals get ahead in that game and Trubisky has to throw a little bit, I think the Bengals can be pretty highly owned. I'm probably going to be a fader on them this week just because I hate going against the Bears offense because they just don't do anything. They don't take any risks.
Yeah, and for me, there are just some other defenses in that range that I prefer.
The Packers headed to Cleveland. Green Bay favored by 3, over under low in this game of only 40.5. Starting on the Green Bay side, obviously, look at their running back, Jamal Williams, had a really nice game last week at only 5,800. He was a chalk guy, a cheap chalk guy that really came through for a lot of people, had 113 yards and a touchdown. Really out-snapped Aaron Jones. He had 44 offensive snaps to Aaron Jones, only had 2, although Jones did have the late touchdown. What say you about Jamal Williams? Up at 6,600 this week. You going back to him?
I don't know. I don't think so. I enjoyed him last week, but you know that's now two top five overall running back performances in a row for him.
Wow.
And I think you'll see a lot of people unafraid to go back to the well, even though it is the Browns and the fact that they rank number one in DVOA run defense. To me, really is just that the concern with Aaron Jones being back. I think you know the situation there is just really up in the air. I mean, you've got Montgomery who's now out for. Who we thought for a while was their best back, and then it looked like Aaron Jones was the guy. I think that really nice long touchdown, sort of scares me in terms of this week and perhaps Aaron Jones mixing in perhaps a third of the carries or something even more. I know the team is behind Williams. They want to sort of roll with him as he's been doing well. And obviously, I think a big reason why Aaron Jones was only in on a couple snaps is, hey, it was his first game back from an injury, so I sort of want to take it easy with him. But I do think he's going to get mixed in this week. And for that reason, and the fact that Cleveland does do well against the run, I'm probably going to be lighter than the field.
So we talked about Jamal Williams doing well as the chalk. Another guy on the Packers who did poorly as the chalk last week was Devontae Adams. A lot of people liked him going against the Tampa Bay defense. He was only 4 catches, 42 yards, only 6 targets. Had 0 catches in the second half, too. He just kind of disappeared. Still, he has been seeing a lot of targets with Brett Hundley. Brett Hundley's playing quarterback again today. Cleveland D's been good against the pass. They allowed their first 100-yard receiver since week 3 last week to Keenan Allen. What about Devontae Adams? They moved up to 6,900 this week, so his price is actually up. You going back to him again for the last week's bum?
No, I mean, you know what? There are just too many other receivers that I prefer. I don't necessarily love the spot. I mean, I do know that the Browns do rank 30th in DVOA against number one receivers. But at the same time, Jason McCourty, if he's going to be the one guarding Adams, he's a top 20 percentile defender, really, back in that secondary. He's a pretty tough matchup. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously Adams fell short last week in that prime matchup with the Bucks, under 10 fantasy points for the first time in a month. I'm probably going to be off of him. And I think it goes without saying, at least for me, unless I'm building 100 lineups, I'm not going to have any Cobb or Jordy. I simply can't trust those guys. And that's now 8 straight games under 10 FanDuel points for Jordy Nelson. I mean, talk about a first-round season-long bust.
Yeah, he's really, really struggling without Aaron Rodgers in there, and that's it's been really disappointing. I mean, even in season-long leagues, he's got to be a bench right now. He just does nothing. Yeah. What about the Packers defense? They woke up big time last week. They had 7 sacks against the Buccaneers and a TD on a Jameis Winston sack fumble play. That gives them 16 sacks last 4 weeks, and nice symmetry. The Browns have actually allowed 16 sacks last 4 weeks. DeShone Kizer, obviously very prone to mistakes. The Packers are 5,000 this week, one of my favorite defensive plays.
Nice. The way you said favorite kind of entices me a little bit.
You're very after Drew Brees last week, don't let me entice you in anything.
Yeah, I haven't come around to them fully. Yes, they've been extremely sack happy and look good. And of course, DeShone Kizer, no quarterback in football has allowed more or has thrown more interceptions than his 15. And the price is nice. And I think the fact that you've got the Jaguars facing Seattle in a sort of a weird matchup there that maybe takes a little bit of the luster off Jacksonville as a sort of lock button type of play. I do think you can get Green Bay into the discussion, but essentially I'm just looking for a spot where I'm not going to get a 0, and I think because of the sack potential, I think we have a chance to at least get a few points and not get killed.
So we talked about chalk earlier. What about the guy who might be the highest owned player on the slate for the Browns, Josh Gordon, 6,700. He played his first game in like 1,000 days last week. He was fed big time though, 11 targets. Only had 4 catches for 85 yards, though. Could have been a huge game. I watched a bunch of that game just to kind of watch Gordon and see how he looked. And I thought he looked good, but DeShone Kizer missed him multiple times when he was open. He had one player. He was already a yard past a guy and breaking open. He underthrew him. It was a 60-yard touchdown, slam dunk with any average quarterback, and Kizer totally blew it. What do you do with Gordon this week? 6,700 going against the Packers. Good matchup. They've been giving up big games all year. They did shut down Mike Evans last week, but they're allowing 30.1 FanDuel points per week to wide receivers, the fourth highest in all the NFL. Gordon's going to be a high percentage, a super high percentage this week. Where are you going with this one?
Yeah. Oh, he's going. I mean, it's essentially Josh Gordon chalk week. I mean, without a doubt. Obviously, this is a very nice matchup for him, like you already mentioned. This deflated Packers secondary. It's really going to be hard for most people to not gravitate towards Gordon. And I'm fine eating that chalk, and you know, especially so in cash games. Though, honestly, would be careful sort of going lock button on him in tournaments and having that full exposure, because you know, you just know the way things sort of go sometimes in this league when everybody's in on a player. And so, but it's just hard not to give him high consideration and get him in a bunch of lineups. The one big boost, of course, even more so for Gordon, is the fact that the Packers' best corner, Kevin King, actually hit the IR this week. And so, it's just going to be sort of an easier matchup for him, and especially at the price, going to be a tough fade.
Yeah, I just wish he didn't look so darn good last week. You know, he looked like the old Josh Gordon. He pulled away in a couple. He had a couple of straight arms that looked really good. And 11 targets, it's hard to get past that number. I think I'm going to have him in a bunch of spots. But as I look to receivers, a lot of guys I like in that range. So it's going to be an interesting decision whether to go with him or kind of fade him a little bit. What about DeShone Kizer, 6,400, going against this Green Bay defense? Any interest there at all?
No, but I think I maybe probably should have some interest. I do think it makes sense. If I'm building three teams, I don't think I'm going to go in that direction. There are just too many other games that I like with multiple entries. I probably would. Want to ask you, what do you do? I know you're a huge Corey Coleman fan. Obviously, Josh Gordon sort of in the mix there. You'd be able to get Coleman at a fraction of the ownership. He did sort of put up the goose egg last week against the Chargers. Do you like him at all for a whole thousand cheaper as a pivot?
That was super disappointing. Only four targets and no catches. I do like him as a little bit of a sneaky play, strictly a GPP guy. I think that with all the Josh Gordon hype this week, you got to think that the Packers have heard that too. They're going to do what they can to roll some coverage over to him, roll a safety over to him with 11 targets last week. I think Coleman's sneaky. He's very risky. You know, has some upside, but a lot of downside. I think that he's a GPP type guy at 5,700. Probably have a couple shares of him, but I don't know. I'm a little bit worried about how much Gordon was fed last week.
All right, that's about it for me on this one. You want to go to the big boy here?
Yeah, this is an interesting game. We've got the Raiders headed to Arrowhead to face the Chiefs. This was one of the better games of the season earlier this year. The Raiders won 31-30 on a Thursday night. Kansas City fared by 4 points this week, over under a 47, one of the higher games on the slate. Let's start with the Raiders side. I had as much as I liked this game offensively, I was having a little bit of trouble figuring out who to play on the Raiders. Marshawn Lynch, 6,400, hadn't topped 100 yards all year, total yards all year, had 110, 120 the last two games. Do you think that you think the beast is here, or what do you do with beast mode this week?
You know, I mean, the price is still fantastic, and yep. It just sort of appears like he's sort of saved his best for the home stretch, and he looks really damn well rested, looks very comfortable out there on the field. Obviously had the nice matchup last week against the Giants. But averaging 19 FanDuel points over his last two games, sort of broke off a big run early, which really helped his week, and ran well against the Broncos, which is, always shocking but nice. And now he's facing the league's 30th ranked rush defense, DVOA-wise. And so, there's definitely something to like here, definitely in the conversation for cash as well. The only concern here is if you think that Kansas City runs away with the game. What about with the receivers? I mean, you've got Cooper Amari, who's probably going to be out of the game. Michael Crabtree is back and might be sort of a fine cash game play. I mean, at a decent tag, he's at 7,100, perhaps a little bit extra motivated having to sit last week's game out because of the suspension. And now you've got Marcus Peters, who was suspended on Wednesday by the team, will not be playing. And so perhaps that might give it a little extra boost to Crab.
Yeah, I'll hit Lynch first. I'm a little worried actually about Lynch. He had the 51-yard touchdown last week, but was 6 for 50 otherwise. And I know the Chiefs have, kind of struggled against some running backs, but if you look a little closer, there's only two running backs who have individually topped 75 yards against them all year. And it's Ezekiel Elliott and Le'Veon Bell, like two of the three best running backs in the whole league. So they've had some games where they've given up, yards to multiple guys, but nobody's really smoked them. Actually, that's over 80 yards. Sorry, Melvin Gordon had 79 yards against him. But those are the only two really big games against them. I'm a little worried that, Lynch's game last week maybe looked a little better than it was. He had that one 51-yard run where he kind of busted through and there was nobody in the secondary. So I'm probably fading Lynch this week. Only 6,400 might come back to haunt me, but I think I'm staying away there. Regards to Crabtree, I really like him this week. I think he's a nice floor guy. 7,100, like you said, no Marcus Peters. Casey obviously got thrashed last week by Jermaine Kearse and Robbie Anderson. I think Crabtree is one of the better cash plays in the game, and he's priced at a point 7,100 where he won't be kind of an automatic play. You know, a lot of people take Josh Gordon in that same range. If Amari Cooper's out, should get a ton of targets. You gotta like the targets.
Yeah, I'm definitely big on Crabs. If I'm going one way or the other with the Raiders, and getting a Raider on my team, or if I'm basically looking to sort of stack this game up, Crabtree would be really nice with the Kansas City passing offense on the other end.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same thing too. So what about that? I mean, Alex Smith is priced up to 8,200. He had looked horrible for a while and just obviously was fantastic last week. 366 yards, 4 touchdowns, and a 70-yard run, which kind of he snuck in there on a pretty sneaky play call by Andy Reid that worked out well. The Raiders shut down Geno Smith and Trevor Siemian the last 2 weeks, but I don't think you can really care about that. Tom Brady smoked them two weeks before that. Jay Cutler had 311 and 3 touchdowns before that. Alex Smith, the first game against them, 342, 3 touchdowns. This all looks pretty good for Alex.
I'm thinking everyone's going to be all over the Chiefs pass game this week.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
The huge explosion. It's just basically the way that people roll, sort of chasing last week's box scores. But it'll be really hard to pass up with this Oakland secondary just completely disheveled. So you're probably going to see a lot of lineups of people doing the same thing that worked last week and, loading up Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And, Tyreek is just obviously he's a beast. He's a freak. I mean, averaging something like 16 fantasy points in 3 career games against the Raiders. Probably going to have a lot of people sort of locking in Josh Gordon and Tyreek Hill together, even in cash. Sounds like it's going to be a really popular combo. But I think we're going to have to find other ways to sort of take a little bit of a contrarian approach in GPPs just to differentiate because, these matchups are just way too good for something not to go wrong.
Yeah, and they did boost him way up. He's up to 7,800, so that helps a little bit if you want to go somewhere else. There's a lot of receivers in that range I do like, and I think that I could go away from Hill. But the problem with him is, he's a boomer bust guy. He obviously makes those big plays, but 20 targets the last 2 weeks. If he's going to be getting that many targets, there's just so many chances for him to make a play. It's hard for him not to get loose on one of those plays. The Raiders have allowed 8 touchdowns to wide receivers the last 6 weeks, so it's a good matchup. What about Travis Kelce on that side? Obviously had the huge first 5 minutes last week. 2 touchdowns in the first 5 minutes, only had 1 catch after that. Had 8 targets, though, really good sign. He scored against them the first game, but only had 33 yards. What about Kelce this week? One of your favorite tight ends?
I mean, I think he is for everybody almost every week. It's just a matter of if you can afford to play him. And the percentage is his ownership is going to be up there, too, especially if Zach Ertz doesn't play. And Rob Gronkowski obviously suspended and not on the Sunday slate. People are just going to like that comfort with Kelce, not to mention the solid home splits. Sort of the contrarian in me is probably going to be a little bit lighter on than the field on him. And sort of the way I'm looking to build and construct my lineups this week. I think there's some other spots I'm going to spend up on. And there are a couple of cheaper tight end options that I'm willing to use instead this week.
Yeah, we'll get to those options, but there's a couple of minimum price guys that are very interesting at tight end. So what about Kareem Hunt? We talked about him last week. I said that I was finally done with him. You said you were going back for one more. Another bad game, 9 carries for 40 yards against the Jets. He's not scored 9 straight games. The yardage is going down almost every week. But down to 7,200, playing the Raiders. What do you do with Kareem Hunt? I think I'm just avoiding him until he does something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm almost speechless at this point. this is crazy. Everyone's going to stack this game up, watch it end up being like a 17 to 14 snooze fest. Like, Kareem Hunt puts up like 200 yards. I mean, that's just the way this stuff works sometimes. And it sometimes just doesn't make sense. And there are going to be a lot of people that are just simply not going to roster him. There are just way too many other trustworthy options. And especially on FanDuel, where you can only lock in 2 running back spots.
Right.
There are just so many good options where Kareem Hunt just doesn't work for me this week.
Yeah, that 7,200 is going to be appealing. I'm afraid that Sunday morning I'm going to look at that and get sucked in. I'm going to try not to, but 7,200 is really cheap for a guy who had, 6 touchdowns the first 3 weeks of the season?
Yeah, beast.
So that's obviously a game we like a lot, and picking the right guys in that game is going to be really important. Moving on to the next game, we have an NFC East battle. The Cowboys headed to the Meadowlands to face the Giants. Dallas fared by 4.5 on the road. Over-under of only 41.5 tells you what everybody thinks about the Giants offense. Dallas, dead last in yards per play the last four games, averaging 4.11 yards per play the last four games. It's been really tough over there, but facing the Giants, are you going to jump in on any Cowboys this week?
Yeah, I actually like this game. I think it is a potential tournament stackable game featuring two teams that have just been struggling defensively, and they have a lot of injuries on the defensive side, on, you know, both sides of the defense. You know, Dak and Dez are likely to easily will come in under 10%. So many people's lineups are going to be focused on KC's offense. They're going to want to get a piece of the Philly Rams game. But I'm interested here. I mean, I am concerned a little bit with Dak's hand. I don't think it is as bad as probably what Stafford is dealing with. Again, I'm not a doctor. I just play one on podcasts. But it could finally be that game where Dez tops 100 yards. I mean, am I just wishful thinking here? No, yep. Janoris Jenkins. I don't know. There's something that I like about it here.
Yeah, Dez is a tough one for me because, you know, obviously you're his biggest fan, but I might be his second biggest fan. I'm someone that's been drafting him for years, but he scored last week, but it was still only 61 yards. He still only has one game over 75 yards all season. Like you said, Janoris Jenkins is out. He's going to get a lot of your boy Eli Apple, which is good. The Giants have given up the seventh most receiving yards in the NFL to wide receivers, but, you know, it's tough with Dak. He's under 200 yards passing for four straight weeks. It's just hard to find the upside. Definitely not playing him at 7,700. I might think about Dez at 7,200. Like you said, he's going to be low percent. There's so many receivers in that range that people are going to like a lot more. We've already talked about Josh Gordon and Tyreek Hill, you know, in that kind of same range a little bit. Tyreek's a little more expensive. Josh Gordon a little less expensive. But what about the running game? What about Alfred Morris? Huge game last Thursday night against the Redskins. 27 carries, 127 yards in a touchdown. He played 36 snaps. He was clearly the lead back over Rod Smith in that game. I just wonder if Dallas might start to lean on him and the offensive line a little bit with how much his Dak has struggled.
Yeah, I like it a lot, actually. You're going to see him pop up sort of later on when we close things up. But I'm a big Alfred Morris fan this week. You know, the price is nice. 27 carries last week. You know, with protecting Dak's hand a little bit, perhaps might be a smart move, and just sort of loading up with Alfred Morris. So I'm absolutely, absolutely interested. I did want to ask you about the old man, dad runner, tight end, Jason Witten, because he might be an easy set and forget chalk type of pick for a lot of people. I mean, every week it's people targeting tight ends against the Giants, against the Browns, and it's been working splendidly for the most part. I mean, the thing with Witten, he's really only had one DFS-worthy game since week two. But it's a great matchup, and, I mean, I don't know. There's just something. You can almost envision him getting in the end zone once. Any interest?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, just because it's the Giants, and he, you know, he had 60 yards and a touchdown against them the first time. But I just think there's other tight ends I like more. He's 5,800 this week. There's other guys in that range I like more. There's other guys that are much cheaper I like more. And there's guys that are expensive I like more. So I think he's going to get lost in the shuffle for me. I might regret it, but the way the offense is going, the way Dak's playing right now, the way the passing game is going, I think they're going to run the ball a lot more. And I could see him scoring, but I don't see him getting enough yards to really go off in a tournament kind of setting.
Yeah, fair enough. But I definitely think there's some interesting pieces. What about on the Giants side? I mean, I'm not underestimating the Giants in this one. And again, I'm totally interested in the game stack here. I know Eli's been horrible. Obviously, after last week's fiasco, I think he's in a position where he's literally playing for his career. And I don't know. I just have this feeling that he steps up the challenge a little bit. I do think it's sort of a nice little setup against their division rivals. Sean Lee does look like he's going to be back, which is going to make things tough for Darko in the running game. But I think Eli could pop off a little bit. And as long as Sterling Shepard's hamstring is in good shape and he's okay and he's got him as a weapon, might see an interesting game here.
It's interesting because my sneaky play on the other side is I kind of like the Dallas defense. 4,400, get to face Eli a week off. I just don't know what we're going to see from Eli. Sterling Shepard I like all right, 6,400. You know, he returned to go 356, but who knows? That was a Geno Smith game. He did have a 47-yard catch in the fourth that kind of saved his day, but Evan Engram was the guy that really looked good last week. I watched some of that game just to kind of see what Geno Smith was going to do, and Evan Engram kind of looked good in space. He looked athletic. Yeah, he had seven catches for 99 yards and a touchdown, but Do we think that was a Geno Smith thing that he kind of focused on him, or do you think Eli goes back to him? I'm having a difficult time figuring out what to do with Engram with Eli back at the saddle.
I mean, Engram does come in as the fourth priciest tight end, you know, if Ertz ends up not playing, coming off that solid line with Geno. But Engram and Eli, they've really been – obviously, they had a good connection earlier in the year, but over the last month, Ingram hadn't topped 35 yards, basically since week 9. And so I do believe he's a consideration. I do like him. He is one of my favorite plays this week, and that's simply because I think Eli gets his mojo flowing a little bit. The other thing with the secondary, Dallas's corners are really just, gone by this point. And additionally, you've got their slot corner, Orlando Scandrick, is probably the guy that would typically be, dealing with Sterling Shepard there. He's dealing with a back injury, and he's likely to miss the game. So just sort of pieces falling into play for me that makes me sort of interested in this game and even in the Giants offense.
Yeah, and that's really good. I like that because, I think it's finding this type of game that you think is going to, be a little better than everybody thinks that can be really valuable. I mean, the Cowboys have allowed multiple touchdowns to wide receivers in 3 straight games. I mean, that's really bad. They've allowed the 3rd most FanDuel points to wide receivers on the season. So, yeah, I could see it. Sterling Shepard 6,400 is probably my favorite play overall in this game, maybe with a little bit of Alfred Morris too.
All right, the next one. Do you want to line us up here for a game with no line?
I'm going to actually do a quick read from our sponsor, FanDuel.com. First, fantasy football fans, FanDuel is back, which means football is back. It's been back. We're in week 14. Obviously, a fun time to play FanDuel. Season-long leagues are ending. If you haven't made your playoffs, it's a perfect time to jump in. FanDuel is fantasy football for everyday fans. New contests starting every week with no busted seasons. There's something for everybody. Lots of contests to choose from, starting at just $1, going all the way up to, there's contests that are $1,000. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and watch your score in real time. Over 2.5 million players have won a cash prize playing on FanDuel. To take advantage of our special offer for new users, sign up today at FanDuel.com/RW. You'll get a free 6-month RotoWire subscription, plus a free entry into the NFL Sunday Million, which offers more than $1 million in cash prizes, all with your first deposit on FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com/RW, void where prohibited. Now we will move to that game with no line. Like you said earlier, Matthew Stafford had the injured hand. His status is up in the air. The Lions are headed to Tampa Bay to face the Buccaneers. Usually I love offenses going against Tampa Bay, but I'm a little bit worried about Stafford here. Kind of have to check his status later in the week. He's 8,000 this week. Great matchup if he plays, though.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a very bothersome hand injury for him. I know he was not throwing in practice on Wednesday, was handing it off with his left hand. The matchup is obviously a pretty one. You want a healthy Stafford for this one because we love attacking that Bucs secondary. It's just really one of those things where we have to see how things line up over the course of the week. And it's a real shame because I was really feeling a big Kenny Golladay week. I was ready to go back to that well. I don't know. I think for the most part, probably, there are some nice plays here. Golden Tate would be in a good position if Stafford could throw the ball. But I think I'm probably going to reserve my analysis until I know a little bit more about Stafford and his availability.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat there. And, I think everybody, if he does play, will be on Marvin Jones at 7,000, over 85 yards in 6 of his last 7 games, which kind of makes me lean a little bit towards Golden Tate. I like him at 6,800, almost the same price, a little bit cheaper. But he only has 3 touchdowns in the year, but 18 targets the last 2 weeks. He's still really active at 8 catches last week, only 69 yards, but really active, really involved. I just wonder if he might be a nice move away from Marvin Jones this week at a lower percentage.
Yeah, it could work. On the Bucs side of the ball, Winston looked pretty sharp in his first game back in over a month. I mean, completed, 21 of 32 passes, 270 yards, both of his touchdown passes to a revived and alive Cameron Brate.
I actually thought he looked kind of crappy, to be honest.
Really?
Yep.
I mean, he fumbled 2 times, which is, that's so Winston, So, I mean, this matchup, of course, isn't an easy one for him. And, Evans with Quandre Diggs on him is honestly, I think, is a tough play. I don't think Diggs, necessarily shadows Evans, but he'll probably have a chance to make some plays against him. But, just in general, not too interested in this game, especially if Stafford doesn't play. But what do you do with a guy like, Mike Evans, who obviously disappointed us last week, is going to get some of that Diggs treatment? Is that someone you want to deal with? Or Slay. I'm sorry. I keep calling Diggs Slay. Yeah, Diggs has actually stepped up a little too. He'll be dealing with Darius Slay.
Yeah, it's tough because he was so bad last week against the Packers. He had a bad drop early. He was just out of bounds on a long pass on the sideline. They did catch. He kind of dove and the defender kind of knocked him out of bounds. Ended up with only 2 catches for 33 yards. He had been over 60 yards in 5 of 6 before that. The other game he got ejected, so you can't really hold that against him, at least from fantasy stat wise. Mm-hmm. I just wonder, he's down to 7,300, kind of a last week's bum. But like you said, a lot of Darius Slay gonna be going on there. But Mike Wallace got them for 116 yards last week. Adam Thielen 89 yards the week before that. But Wallace was the first wide receiver not named Juju Smith to get over 100 yards in them all year. So they have been good, but I don't know. He's going to be super low percentage this week. There's so many guys in the range everybody likes more. I think I'm going to be tempted again, but I'm a little hesitant on it based on how he looked last week, especially dropping the ball.
Yeah, you know, it just made me think we should probably build, you know, during this podcast, an all-do team. And well, let's start with Dez Bryant and Mike Evans, who have yet to top 100 yards at all this season. I mean, there's got to be another receiver, a good one that hasn't topped 100. I forgot the list, but there's a few. But yeah, let's build one of these teams and plug it in.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I was looking at Golden Tate. He actually had a couple hundred yard games. I wasn't sure he'd been over. But what about another cheap running back here with Peyton Barber? I know that Doug Martin practiced fully on Wednesday, but Peyton Barber looked good last week. He played 68% of the snaps. He was 23 carries for 102 yards. Also had four catches. I mean, he looked better than Doug Martin's looked at any point during the season. Detroit defense gave up 75 yards, two touchdowns to Alex Collins last week. 84 yards and a touch to Latavius Murray the week before that. Jordan Howard smoked them a couple weeks ago. I just wonder if Peyton Barber could get the full-time job and they don't go back to Doug Martin. He's super cheap. Detroit's allowing the fourth most FanDuel points on the season to running backs. Just Doug Martin being there bugs me, though. I wish he was out and we could play Peyton Barber.
Yeah, I mean, I legitimately think it's time for Doug Martin to take a chance and see if he how he does in the broadcast booth.
I agree. Man, he should go join Tony Romo and Jay Cutler, which is where Cutler should be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he's seriously one of the worst running backs in football right now. And, you know, hopefully Coach Cotter is smart enough to give Peyton Barber the start if he, you know, has any semblance of common sense. He'll let him get the big workload. Just looked really good last week, you know, topped 100 rushing yards, caught all four of his targets for 41 yards. Just a guy that's never really been given a chance. And I'd like to see more of Peyton Barber and not opposed to playing him this week at the price.
Yeah, I just worry that they, you know, have some sort of loyalty to Doug Martin. I mean, he's just been so bad yards per carry wise. But it worries me a little bit, even if Barber starts, that they, you know, a couple bad runs or, you know, he has a bad first quarter, they may just go back to Martin. I'm a little bit worried about Doug Martin kind of lurking in the shadows.
All right. Yeah, that's about it for me on this game. I think in general, really want to see if Stafford is going to play and see what the line comes out to and to see if it's going to be, you know, make some assumptions on whether it'll be a competitive game or not.
Any rejuvenated Cameron Brate at 5,400?
I don't know. Lions are decent against the tight end. I am a little interested in a sneaky Eric Ebron. I did a bid on him in a season long league where Zach Ertz is probably not going to play, and so I'm opting for Ebron over Trey Burton on a gut feel there.
All right. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, Jameis just kind of locks in on Brate. He had two touchdowns last week, obviously, and then he had another couple thrown to him in the end zone. It seems like when they get inside the 30 or so, Jameis really kind of locks in on that seam pass down the middle. There's other tight ends I think I like more. But moving on to the next game, we have the Vikings at the Panthers. Really interesting, fun game. Low over-under at 41, but two good teams, two good defenses. Obviously, Minnesota's been a huge revelation this year. They are a 2.5-point favorite on the road going into Carolina. Your boy Case Keenum, I know you're a big fan, multiple touchdowns in four or five games. He had over 280 yards in four straight weeks before last week. He only had 227 last week, but was 25 for 30. They just didn't really hit any big plays against the Falcons. Interesting matchup. You know, the Panthers are big on sacking the quarterback. They have 35 sacks. The Vikings have only allowed 14 sacks in the year. So I think that, you know, who bends and who breaks there might determine how this game goes.
Yeah, and we've got a low over under here at 41. Vikings implied totals at 22, Panthers at 19, much lower for both of them than it is in most of their matchups. But I do think we have to keep an open mind in this game. I think there have been plenty situations, like when the Vikings faced the Redskins a few weeks back, where, you know, you're expecting sort of a lower scoring defensive game that ends up turning into a shootout, especially when you do have such a complete offense like Minnesota has with all those weapons. At that point, it's just a matter of if you believe that the Panthers have the capability to sort of keep up with them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wish I had a little more faith in Cam Newton to keep up in this game. It might be kind of a sneaky shootout for me, but I just, I don't know. Cam has under 200 yards passing in four of his last 5 weeks. I'm not sure I can trust him on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, on the Minnesota side, for me, it's Adam Thielen coming off a very pedestrian game last week, and a nice little matchup against sort of a middle of the packs slot receiver, slot corner in Captain Munnerlyn. Diggs, I really want to keep going back to this Diggs well, man.
Me too.
So think he's so much better than you know the targets he's been seeing. And I mean, we saw what Michael Thomas did last week against Bradbury and Worley, the two sophomore cornerbacks there. So I don't think we can count out Diggs altogether at a low ownership. You know, I need to allow myself to potentially be pulled back in here.
Yeah, I mean, and you mentioned Michael Thomas, 70 yards and a touchdown, but, you know, the week before that, Robbie Anderson, a buck 46 and two touchdowns, and Jermaine Kearse, 105 and a touchdown. So Carolina's, you know, while they've been solid most of the year, they've been lit up a little bit recently.
Yeah, and I think not too interested in the Vikings run game. I mean, this is one of the league's best run stopping groups. I know both, you know, you and I like McKinnon last week, and, you know, that was a good situation for him, homecoming game and all. The fact that the Falcons give up a ton of receptions to running backs, but, you know, rarely do I attack Carolina's run defense.
Yeah, and the way he and Latavius split the work, it's really hard to time which one of them's going to go off in a certain week. It's just a matter of who gets the touchdown.
Yeah, meh, that's the best way to explain it.
What about Carolina? We touched on Cam Newton a little bit. You know, I think overpriced this week at 7,700. Just hasn't been getting the passing yards. He has to do so much running the ball to be worth it that it's tough for me to play, especially against the Vikings. They held Matt Ryan to 173 yards last week, and that was in the dome. So, you know, really good game by them. What about Devin Funchess? You know, just kind of keeps balling. 4 for 60 on 7 targets last week. He was really bad all game, and he had no catches late in the third quarter, and then made up for it in garbage time as they were getting smoked by the Saints. But he's averaging over 80 yards the last 4 weeks. He has 3 touchdowns. Do you go back to him at 7,100, or are you just kind of avoiding him because of Xavier Rhodes?
Yeah, for me, Rhodes is a tough matchup. We saw what him handling Julio last week. Yep. I think I'm probably going to be off the Panthers altogether. You know, everyone and their mothers is quoting this week about how Cam has been running the ball a lot, how effective he's been, and how even more so effective Minnesota has been in keeping quarterbacks from being that mobile. And so, you know, I mean, if you're looking for a super contrarian play, I don't think Newton's going to be very high percentage at all. And maybe he does run for 100 yards. I mean, who the heck knows in this league? But, you know, honestly, if I'm playing Cam Newton, I think with Olsen back and you've got McCaffrey there and Funchess, like, I could consider playing Newton, you know, just by himself. But even then, I could probably think of just five QBs off the top of my head I'd rather build lineups around.
Yeah, any interest in Christian McCaffrey at 6,800? I just, you know, he's had his 18 targets last week, but he gets so few carries, he kind of has to score for it to work. And it can work, but I think I like him more on a full PPR site rather than on FanDuel.
Yeah, I played him on the other, basically on the comeback with my Breeze, Thomas, Kamara teams last week. And so got lucky, I feel like, him getting the touchdown. But like you said, he really sort of needs to get in the end zone to really make it worth it. And the Vikings just aren't a great matchup.
So for the first time all year, I'm actually excited about watching a 49ers game. I loved watching Jimmy Garoppolo play quarterback last week. 49ers head to Houston. They are Houston's 3-point favorite, over under 43 in this game. But, you know, Garoppolo looked really good last week. He was 26 of 37, 293 yards. I know he didn't throw any touchdowns. They didn't get in the end zone. Struggled in the red zone, but he looked like a quarterback. He threw the ball on target. He was hitting Marquise Goodwin and Trent Taylor kind of in stride, which hasn't happened in a couple years in San Francisco. I thought he looked great. The price is up to 7,000. Houston's allowed the second most FanDuel points to quarterback this season at 19.9 points per game. They've allowed 23 touchdowns to quarterbacks passing, tied for the third worst in the NFL so far this year. Are you jumping on Jimmy G at all at 7,000?
Yeah, I like him. I like Jimmy.
Wow.
Yeah, played a little of him last week on other sites. Like you mentioned, looked very sharp. Matchup with the Texans secondary is, I mean, basically the type of stuff that GPP dreams are made of. And I loved how connected he was with Marquise Goodwin, who caught all 8 of his targets. Who remember him early on in the season when we were playing him? He just looked like basically the Olympic sprinter that he is, right, with bad hands. And now he's actually catching the ball. It's phenomenal. And he's going to line up against Jackson and Joseph in the secondary. I think that's a perfect situation for him. And, you know, funny enough, you know, I don't know if you remember this, a tweet that I had where I basically made this fun team where I put two Gordons, two Williams, like Jamal, two Taylors, Trent and Tyrod, two Henrys, put them all in a lineup with the Chargers defense. And honestly, that team, my one reservation was putting Trent Taylor on there. And he went off. And of course I didn't play that team. Of course that team would have cashed, not even min cash in GPPs, even better than that. And so,
even with Tyrod getting hurt and leaving?
the rest of the team, everyone scored. Everyone came through. It was insane. It was insane. So anyways, yeah, Trent Taylor, man, I mean, came out of literally nowhere last week, caught all six of his targets for 92 yards, and might have the best pure matchup of week 14 facing slot corner Kareem Jackson. And so he's 4,500. What do you do? Do you play him? Go back to him?
I just think that it's going to be hard for him to repeat that performance last week. If I'm going to go with a Niners receiver, it's going to be Marquise Goodwin just because of the upside. He's still only 5,700. He's still under 6,000. He was 8 for 99 last week on 8 targets. You know, what I liked was that Garoppolo hit him in stride a lot, which lets, you know, Goodwin catch the ball and then do something with it. You know, all season he's kind of been slowing up for passes and not, you know, kind of catching it, not being in stride. And I think it's a big deal. You can get someone that fast, you can hit him in stride, that can really kind of make some plays after the catch. You know, he's got, always has the big boom possibility. He's got the speed, but if he's going to get a lot of targets too, you're going to really like that under 6,000.
Yeah, and I mean, Hyde for me, probably not too interested, even though I usually am and a big fan of his. I just think this, you know, Houston defense is sort of really limits his upside. I prefer him in full PPR sites. So what do you think about Hyde? And then kind of get us into what you think about Hopkins and the Texans this week.
Yeah, I kind of like Hyde. There's not a lot of mid-range running backs I like this week, but I didn't like how he looked last week, and not really from a football standpoint, but he just kind of looked lost. He made a really bad mistake on a false start. He had another play, was second and one. He kind of jumped it outside instead of going up the middle to get the first down. So kind of back-to-back plays really hurt them on a drive. You know, the problem is that it's a close game. They're not going to be behind as much. He's not going to get all the catches he does. You know, they've been getting blown out, and he's got a lot of targets. So had 17 for 54 last week against a tough run D in Chicago. Houston really struggled last week against the run. DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry had 22 for 175 on them. So I like Hyde. I don't love him, but I think if you need someone in that range, I think he'll be fine. For Hopkins, he's my favorite receiver of the week. I think he's 8,600 this week. The targets are just so insane. He had 14 more last week. I know Tom Savage is not very good, but he's just throwing the ball to him so many times. And kind of when they get any trouble, he just kind of throws it up to him, which is, you know, kind of not great football-wise, but really good fantasy-wise. I don't think the 49ers have anybody to really stop him, so I think he's gonna get a lot of opportunities this week, and kind of what you want when you pay up for a receiver.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, it's looking now like Will Fuller is going to be back in the game, which, you know, may hopefully keep between the price on Hopkins and Fuller coming back, maybe it takes off a little bit of his ownership. You know, we could imagine that maybe they sort of, you know, take it easy on Fuller and don't give him a full complement of snaps. But hey, last time they brought him into a game, his first game, you know, in early October, he exploded right away. 2 touchdowns in his first game, 2 touchdowns the next. But yeah, I mean, as far as DeAndre Hopkins goes, obviously very easy to trust cash game play. You had sort of let me know or brought to my attention how he had a streak of at least one score or 80 receiving yards in every game this season, and he kept that streak alive last week. And I just think there's nobody on the Niners that can cover him. So I really like the play this week as well.
It is still intact, but it is actually 70 yards. But he does have a score or 70 yards in every game all season long, which is an incredible streak for a receiver who, you know, usually has some up-and-down games. But what about the guy at 4,500, tight end Steven Anderson? Big-time breakout last week with 68 snaps. C.J. Fedorowicz had his third concussion he has done for the year. He had 12 freaking targets last week. He was 5 for 79 in a touchdown. You know, Tom Savage is not efficient, but if you're going to throw the ball to somebody 12 times, got to like him min price and at tight end.
Yeah, 12 targets. That's the big shocker there. Oh, yeah. And he's an interesting type of player, almost like sort of like a wide receiver tight end hybrid, because he doesn't have the sort of the, you know, prototypical body type for a tight end. And he's pretty fast. You know, definitely he's going to get some snaps. I think people have forgotten who Ryan Griffin even is and CJ Fedorowicz. So it's really a matter of roster construction. I mean, 4,500 opens up a lot of cap for a lot of many different things. Keep in mind, he is going to be somewhat chalky, probably not going to get the same game you got last time from him. As a matter of fact, no one got it. You know, no one had Anderson last week. This week, people might be chasing, and so there are some concerns for me, but I like him if you need a punt.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, though, because he's 4,500. I think he would have been really chalky, except for the fact if Zach Ertz doesn't play, we have Trey Burton, who we'll talk about later, who's also 4,500. So I wonder if that takes away from the Anderson percentage a little bit.
Absolutely. It absolutely can. And, you know, for me, for what it's worth, in my season-long bids, I did not – did like Trey Burton the one time that he did step in for Ertz. I had played him that week and ended up working out. I think he caught four balls, got into the end zone, paid off on his salary. But I think this week I would probably slightly prefer Steven Anderson to him.
Moving on to the afternoon 1 o'clock games, we have a really interesting game with the Seattle Seahawks headed across country to face the Jacksonville Jaguars. Two teams that are playing really well right now. Seattle, beat Philadelphia obviously in that marquee game last week. Jacksonville's been rolling most of the year, especially on defense. So I guess the biggest question of this week is they FanDuel priced Russell Wilson down to 7,700. What do you do with him? You know, kind of one of those things. You know, do you play the really hot guy against the bad defense, or what do you do? Russell Wilson, 7,700, going against Jacksonville. You playing him this week? He's been a top 10 quarterback 7 games in a row.
Man, I mean, this game is just a true mind bender to me. I have no idea what to expect. I mean, Russell Wilson is my guy. I'm heading into the playoffs with a big reason why I got there in the first place. And I've been dreading this matchup all season long. I knew it was coming week 14 when I really sort of need a big boost. But obviously, you know, this, you know, it's the arguably the league's best quarterback facing the league's best defense. You know, something's going to have to give. You know, I've actually seen people talk about benching Wilson in season long playoffs, which, you know, I think is absolutely probably bananas, even though the matchup is tough. But I do want to have some exposure probably to, you know, the Seahawks offense. There's just pieces that I don't like. Baldwin just doesn't really do it for me. You know, how do you play guys against people like Bouye and Aaron Colvin and, Jalen Ramsey?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard some people talk about Doug Baldwin. You know, maybe he'll find some room because he might go in the slot. But, you know, everybody thought that about Larry Fitzgerald against the Jags, and Jalen Ramsey just kind of moved in the slot and covered him, and he had 3 catches for 12 yards. So I think I'm staying away from Seattle receivers for sure. I just don't know what I'm going to do with Wilson. I'm a little worried he's going to get sacked a lot. He tends to make a lot of plays, but I think there's just other quarterbacks I like more this week. I love Russell Wilson.
Exactly.
But I think I'm just not going to play him this week. What about Jimmy Graham, though? 9 touchdowns last 7 games, scored in all but one of those games. He's a tight end. The Jacksonville's not quite as good as the tight ends they are against wide receivers. What do you do with Jimmy Graham this week at 6,900?
Hey, if the ankle's fine, that this is the guy that is, you know, absolutely crushing it in the red zone, and very little few people that you can feel more comfortable with about getting into the end zone. I think there are just other tight ends in play. And so for me, honestly, if there's anyone that I'm mostly interested here, it's the jukey and groovy Mike Davis, man. That kid looks amazing.
Yeah, and, you know, kind of the third guy we talked about that's a cheap running back. Played 45 snaps last week, got 16 carries, had 4 catches. You know, maybe finally Seattle's found a lead back. Jacksonville hasn't allowed even a guy to rush for 80 yards since week 6. I just don't think it's a spot I want to play him. I think I like Gio Bernard, a couple other cheap guys more. So while I liked how Mike Davis looked last week, I think I'm just going to avoid him against Jacksonville.
What about on the other side? You got Dede Westbrook, did not score last week, but had a nice little performance. And then Marquise Lee, one of the only reason why my lineups were decent last week. A good feeling about him last week. Ended up putting up 18 FanDuel points. Either way, this isn't a game I plan to go too heavy on. I think it'll be an interesting game to watch. It'll be a fun one to watch. But anyone interest you on the Jags side of the ball?
I like Dede a lot at 5,200. You know, Seattle's allowed the seventh most yards to wide receivers this year. He has 19 targets the last 2 weeks. It just kind of feels like a big week is coming. They're going to him a lot. I know Lee had the big game last week, but, you know, still no Richard Sherman, no Cam Chancellor. I think I like Dede Westbrook at 5,200 more than Lee at 6,600. What about Leonard Fournette? Price at 8,300. Crazy stat. No running back has topped 55 yards against the Seahawks since week 3.
I'm just simply not playing Leonard Fournette. I mean, he might get a lot of work, but for me at that price, as is, the most in the part of this game that I'd like to sort of be able to get a piece of is Jacksonville's passing offense. And so that would include, you know, Westbrook, maybe Marquise Lee, maybe Bortles. Honestly, in this game, that's the only way I'm looking. And so for that reason alone, and the trouble Fournette's going to have, I'm just not going to pay up for it.
How about the crazy reliable Jacksonville defense? Any chance they might be sneaky this week? Lower percentage than usual going against the Seahawks?
Sure, I think they absolutely could be. I think on the other, I mean, Jacksonville it just isn't going to be a sneaky defense any week. I think you'll see them among the top 4 or so ownership wise.
Wow, still against the Seahawks, huh? And I didn't think it'd be that high.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Top four every week, sort of a lock button for a lot of people. Yeah.
They could get a lot of sacks. Seattle's offensive line still sucks, but Wilson's so good. But I just worry he's going to get sacked a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Next next game, we have the Jets going to Denver. The Jets are a one-point favorite. Another low over-under in this game. This is kind of the one of the after. There's a couple afternoon games that have low over-unders as one of them. Robbie Anderson on the Jets. He finally didn't score, but still 12 targets, 8 catches for a buck 07. He's balling right now. One of the best wide receivers in the league at the moment. Denver used to be a scary matchup for wide receivers, but not as much anymore. They still have some good cornerbacks, and they haven't allowed a 100-yard receiver all year, but they have been leaking a little bit. Kenny Stills is 98 and a touchdown last week. What about Robbie Anderson? He's fully priced at 7,700 now. You going back to the well again?
No, not this week. Last week was obviously a nice week to play some Jets players against that Kansas City defense that's just been getting shredded. I'm essentially off of him. I mean, especially with Denver's D playing at home, Aqib Talib is back in the lineup, probably going to do his best to handle, super studly, Robbie here. And again, this is also a game projecting to be one of the lowest scoring of the day, just a 41 over under. I write basically cash and GPP plays out for every one of these games when I prep. This is the first time in 14 weeks that I have next to cash and GPP blank, no names. So that should tell you something.
What about the Jets D? 4,500. Trevor Siemian looks horrendous. 3 interceptions last week and a pick 6. The Jets have only forced 1 turnover last 3 weeks, so that was the one thing that was maybe a little hesitant on them this week.
Yeah, they're okay. There's other plays that I'm more interested here. Jets going into Denver on the road, just not particularly appealing to me.
What about on the Broncos side of the ball? Wasn't a lot I like there. I think Demaryius Thomas is actually interesting at 6,300. He's really struggled with Trevor Siemian, though. 10.2 points per game with Siemian as opposed to 17.9 when Brock Osweiler was playing. But the Jets were thrashed last week by Alex Smith and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. They've allowed 74 yards to receiver for 7 straight weeks. There's 9 guys with 74 more yards in that stretch. He had 10 targets last week. I wonder at 6,300, he might be everybody might miss him. He might be really sneaky this week off the bad game last week.
Oh yeah, I mean it was pretty sad to see that box score for Broncos. I didn't get to watch much of the game, but Sanders and Demaryius combined for under 40 yards against this total sad sack Dolphins secondary. And I actually thought Siemian being back under center last week was going to help the passing game a little bit.
He looked awful.
Man,
awful. He looked so bad.
Yeah. Join Doug Martin in the booth, please. Demaryius Thomas, under 30 receiving yards per game in his last two. And Emmanuel Sanders, has been held under 20 receiving yards in each of his last 3 games. I mean, this is just insane.
Yeah, I mean, Demaryius Thomas getting 27 yards on 10 targets is almost impossible, and 18 yards on 8 targets the week before. So I think he's sneaky at 6,300, kind of one of my favorite cheaper receiver plays. Moving on to the other game that in the afternoon slate that's a low over-under before we get to the final two that are both really fun. We have Tennessee headed to Arizona. Tennessee favored by 3, over-under of 43. On the Tennessee side, Derrick Henry, we talked about him last week. We kind of said it's going to come at some point, but he had 109 yards and a touchdown, but still 11 carries. I just don't think he's splitting carries with DeMarco too much to really play him anywhere.
I mean, yeah, he's so explosive. I do like him. I had him on that all-family team last week with all the Henrys and Gordons. I don't think matchups even really matter for him. It's just a matter of him getting the lion's share of the carries, and we'll see that next year. He'll be the lead back next season. There'll be a lot of love. He'll be one of those guys along with Fournette and Gurley that you're paying $8,500 a week for. But for now, we just sort of have to, pick our spots. And again, against the Cardinals in receiving half the touches, just not a spot I'm going to jump on.
One of the favorites of the podcast, Delanie Walker, had another game last week. He scored again. He has 60-plus yards now in 6 straight games. I mean, incredible consistency for a tight end especially. He's kind of the one reliable guy catching the ball in Tennessee. His salary has gone up. He's up to 6,600, but touchdowns in back-to-back weeks. I think he's one of those guys you can kind of just toss in there every week, and he's really solid. There are other cheaper tight ends I like more this week, however.
Yeah, exactly. And he did not practice on Wednesday. It's still that ankle issue he was dealing with, but that he's been playing on, so I think that's fine. But in general, like you say, there are just other pieces here that I want to other tight ends that I'd rather play. And then, with Corey Davis likely tied up with Patrick Peterson, and then with Delanie Walker just a little bit banged up still, and the fact that Zona is decent against tight ends, maybe Rishard Matthews isn't playing in tournaments, especially if he's healthy and he's going to be playing.
He could be. I just really don't like watching Marcus Mariota throw the ball right now. It's ugly.
It's bad.
Tennessee defense, 4 more sacks last week. They have 12 sacks the last 2 weeks. The Cardinals gave up 6 sacks last week to the Rams. Tennessee at 4,800, kind of one of my favorite sneakier plays on defense this week.
Cool. I mean, I trust you because right now, or at least the last couple of weeks, you know, I always have that one defense that I like, and then I start getting a little tricky. I'm like, oh, I'm feeling Kansas City, you know, by a Saturday or something like that, where I should have just left my Baltimore in all the way.
I was actually excited during the game last week because I thought you had Baltimore everywhere and they were going crazy. I was actually excited watching that just for that reason. But on the Arizona side, I don't have many guys I like there. The one guy I really like this week is actually Larry Fitzgerald. I know he's 7,600, but I think that might help keep his percentage down. As we mentioned, there's a lot of guys in that range that people like. So I wonder if he'll be kind of low percentage this week. He's been a top 10 receiver in PPR 3 of the last 4 weeks. Over 16 FanDuel points through the last 4 weeks. Just that Jacksonville game where he struggled. Target monster, though. You know, he's got 42 targets over the last 4 weeks. 90 yards plus in 3 of the last 4 weeks. He's quietly been really, really good.
No, he's Larry Fitz is an every week consideration. Matchup against Logan Ryan, probably okay as well. You know, but usually we want to target Tennessee's perimeter receivers, you know, Dory Jackson and, you know, Sims over there. But and that's part of the reason why I think somebody that might be an interesting sort of sneaky dart throw is the speedy J.J. Nelson. No one's going to have him. He's 4,700, very boom or bust. But I think he's going to pop off in a big play here.
I like that. That's definitely a sneaky low percentage one at 4,700. I like that. Like that a lot. Moving to the last two games of the day, which are both really interesting, fun games. We have the Redskins headed to the StubHub Center to face the L.A. Chargers. I finally got it right. Week 14. Chargers are -6, over under a 46. I wonder if this is one of those games that that might turn into a sneaky shootout between these two teams.
Possibly. I think that really for me the issue is Cousins and this pass offense against a very stout Chargers secondary. Like, you know, if I have Cousins in a season long where I'm going to be benching him for my backup, it could end up working out. But
who's the backup?
Obviously. Oh, my backup, Case Keenum.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, I think I don't want to sort of assume here, but obviously Josh Gordon is a freak athlete, and he put up basically he made Casey Hayward have the worst game of his season, the most yards that he's allowed. And I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, obviously Casey Hayward lost his brother last week. He's going through a lot. You know, maybe his head wasn't in the game. I think a week removed from here, this week he's going to be a little pissed about what happened. And
it was still, only 85 yards too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now you're dealing with like Josh Doctson, who I guess is pretty good. Ryan Grant on the perimeter. Those are the guys he'll be dealing with. I just don't love a lot with the pass game for Washington. Samaje Perine is interesting against this Chargers run defense. It continues to get abused on an almost weekly basis. The only concern really for me here is if the Skins abandon the run if the Chargers get off to a nice lead. But either way, I mean, since Chris Thompson hit the IR, Perine's seen 7 targets over his last 2 games, so perhaps he's involved as a pass catcher.
Yeah, I really like Jameson Crowder kind of for the reason you mentioned. I think that the Chargers will take away the outside guys. Really heavy targets last 4 weeks. He has at least 7 in each game, 36 total in that stretch. Actually 65 yards or more in all of his last 5 games, over 102 of those games. He's clearly the guy right now in their pass game. You know, Grant and Doctson get some of the deep balls, but Crowder's kind of the guy. He drops a few passes, but he's their guy. 6,800, I think he won't be too highly owned. I kind of like the game script for him, too. You mentioned they may abandon the run with Perine. I think that would be more Jameson Crowder. Love him in PPR site. I like him on FanDuel.
Nice. I like it. And that's probably something that works if you are planning to stack up on the Chargers side of the offense, going with Rivers and Keenan Allen or, you know, Gordon or however you do it, doing the pass game, getting Jameson Crowder on the way back. And I agree with you. The middle of the field is the way they're going to have to get it done against this team.
Yeah, you mentioned the Chargers. I love Phillip Rivers this week at 8,100. He has 434 and 344 yards in the last 2 weeks. The Washington pass, he kind of owned Dak Prescott and Eli Manning the last 2 weeks, but I don't really read too much into that. Before that, Breeze had 385 yards on him. Keenum had 304. Russell Wilson had 297. So I'm not too scared of Washington. I love Rivers. I mean, Keenan Allen right now, first player in NFL history to have 10-plus catches, 100-plus yards, and a touchdown in 3 straight games.
Yeah, and he's going to want to go for this again this week. So that'll be interesting. The matchup against Fuller is really not one that I'm too worried about. Kendall Fuller there in the slot. So yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to be hard not to consider going back to Keenan Allen, given how dominant he's been now that he's healthy. Man, it's just great to see him do work this year.
Absolutely. He's so fun to watch. Probably the best pure route runner in the NFL. I know he's not the fastest, not the biggest guy, but the way he runs routes is just fun to watch. What about Melvin Gordon? He's expensive this week, 8,600. He had 77 yards last week on 19 carries. Also had four catches. Only one touchdown in the last 4 weeks. But we talked about earlier, Alfred Morris thrashed this Rundy last week for 127 yards. You think Gordon finally has that big game? He's priced high.
He is priced high. Washington's run defense is good. But, you know, Melvin Gordon sort of has these games out of nowhere. You really never know where they're going to come. And, you know, obviously he's been hurting me a little bit. I've been playing him over on DK the last couple weeks and just not getting me a lot of points, you know, because he's not getting in the end zone. It's not your typical, if you remember how things were going sort of middle toward the end of last season before he got hurt. I mean, he was getting in the end zone and getting those opportunities like, you know, 2-3 times a game, just a couple touchdowns a game. And, you know, he does have 9 touchdowns on the season, but just so many of those have come early on in the year. Something's got to give. Something's got to happen with Melvin. I'm interested in playing him again. I'm just afraid of the price here.
Last guy I like on this offense, I like Hunter Henry a lot. He did leave last game with a sore knee, but he's expected to be okay. Their coach said he's fine today. His snaps are up, 74% of the snaps the last 2 weeks, 9 targets last week, 7 catches for 81 yards. He kind of looks like the number 2 receiver in that offense to me right now, right behind Keenan Allen. Still priced under 6,000 at 5,600, 75-plus yards last 2 weeks. I think he's my favorite tight end outside of Travis Kelce this week.
Yeah, and the Redskins are one of those teams that you can sort of target with tight ends. They've given up the 5th most FanDuel points to opposing tight ends. They've given up 7 touchdowns on the year. There's only a few teams that have allowed more, and most of those teams have just allowed 8 or 9. So, yeah, I mean, Hunter Henry is in play every week. And it might be one of those Smith-Kelce, Tyreek Hill scenarios this week if you want to go that route with Rivers, Keenan Allen, and Hunter Henry there.
Yeah, if Washington can just manage to stay in the game, I really like that possibility too. Moving on to the last game of the week, huge matchup. It's only like the 17th time, I think, they went back in history. The number 1 and number 2 teams in total DVOA have faced each other in the midseason. Philadelphia headed to the Coliseum to face the Rams. Rams are -2 in this game with over-under of a big 49.5. Starting on the Philly side, this should be a really fun game. Carson Wentz, 8,600. You playing him?
I like him. The decision here is basically him versus Alex Smith. And because I think that this game is going to be a lot more competitive, I'm probably going to spend the extra dough and get Wentz in. I think he's a fine cash game play. The main issue here really is sort of finding those right pieces on this offense really well. It's not a very good team for fantasy and for DFS sake because, you know, they've got that sort of that 3-headed monster with Ajayi and Blunt and Corey Clement. And I'd like to see Ajayi get serious usage, get the ball 18 times, just sort of run wild. But we're just not seeing that. And then, you know, your weekly sort of pickings between Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar, it's almost like a New England Patriots situation. It's great for the team. They're probably going to make a run for the Super Bowl. But finding those pieces is usually tough in fantasy and DFS.
Yeah, I mean, no, likely no Zach Ertz. He's kind of questionable / doubtful this week. So that might help a little bit. If you had to match up someone with Wentz, though, who would it be?
It would be Alshon this week. Okay. He's probably going to see a lot of Trumaine Johnson coverage. I think it's a pretty nice matchup. The Rams have done a pretty solid job at containing opposing perimeter receivers, but Alshon would be the pairing. I think he's due for a good one after sort of a mediocre game last week.
And we talked a little bit earlier, we were talking about Steven Anderson, talking about Trey Burton, Eagles tight end. If Ertz doesn't play, he had 7 targets last week with Ertz leaving the game early. He caught 4 for 42. Super athletic guy. I mean, the guy was recruited as a spread quarterback in Urban Meyer's offense when he went to the University of Florida, played a little bit quarterback early, then moved to wide receiver, and now is moved to tight end. So super athletic for a guy his size and a tight end. My only concern was there's no tight end over 70 yards against the Rams all year long.
Yeah, I think the thing is we saw how Carson Wentz was sort of keying in on Trey Burton. And obviously, if you're looking at a situation of Tom Savage versus Carson Wentz throwing to Steven Anderson or Trey Burton, obviously it's pretty easy if you're basing it on that. But then again, a lot of the fact that Steven Anderson's getting the ball from Savage is because Savage just isn't a really accurate guy and sometimes has to throw those shorter passes. And obviously, Philly has a lot of good people on the offense who are all pretty good at catching the ball.
What about on the Rams side? Obviously, kind of a perfect game script. You've got a low spread, high over-under. Jared Goff, you know, the Philly D is tough, but I wonder if this game might turn into a shootout as both teams need to score.
Yeah, so they're tough, but the pass defense, actually, if you go back to some of the box scores, I mean, they are passable against, I guess you could say. And we saw what Russell Wilson did last week, even though he didn't top 300 yards. He did play a pretty good game. Yeah, I mean, this week, I mean, I really wish Robert Woods is going to be back. You know, he's obviously not going to be ready. I don't think he has a timetable yet for a return. Cooper Kupp probably has the toughest matchup of the bunch in the slot against Patrick Robinson. To me, you know, Watkins is interesting, probably the guy I would consider pairing with him. But there's just something about this pass offense that I don't love. And on top of that, you've got Gurley, who, you know, tough matchup, but still a volume monster, but just hasn't been putting up those big games, hasn't topped 100 rushing yards in over 6 weeks, and basically hasn't even scored in the last month. And Philly's, obviously, they're pretty good against the run. They rank third in DVOA against the run. But they are allowing the second most rushing touchdowns to opposing running backs. It's literally the only silver lining I could find for Gurley this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. We talked about Gurley as a volume monster early on, but it seems like Sean McVay's gone away from that. He has under 20 carries 5 weeks in a row. For the 5 weeks before that, he had over 20 carries. So they've really kind of pulled back the reins on his usage, and you wonder if, you know, maybe they realize they're going to make the playoffs and they're kind of trying to get him a little fresh for the stretch run. But in a game like this, where there's a lot of points, you got to think they're going to use him. Got to think they're using the passing game too. 8,500. He's an interesting play. I think. He's not my favorite. I think I like LeSean McCoy a little bit more, and that's if Tyrod Taylor plays. But if Taylor doesn't play, I think Gurley might become my favorite running back in this game that could turn into a high-scoring affair.
Yeah, and I think just sometimes people sort of need to assess the games individually and not just say, hey, you know, it's a running back against a top three DVOA defense.
Right.
And sort of, you know, that can't be the reason alone. And, you know, absolutely, Gurley can smash. He's due for 100 yards. He's due to score. And so I'm interested at the price.
Yeah, and you mentioned Cooper Kupp. I mean, he's just so consistent. You know, six catches, eight catches, five catches. He catches so many of his targets, and Goff really likes him and kind of goes to him. I think that this game has to score some points. It's got to come from somewhere. It's just a matter of figuring out where it is. Kupp's up a little bit in price, up to 6,400. So, you know, I don't think he'll be too highly owned, but he's probably my favorite of the Rams pass catchers if I had to play one. I know you like Sammy Watkins a little more, though.
Yeah, Watkins, you know, again, I'm not playing Watkins in cash. I'm not crazy. But, you know, in a tournament, if I could totally see a, you know, with Cooper Kupp having the tougher matchup, something with, like, you know, Goff, Gurley, and Watkins in a game stack, and then maybe Alshon or someone on the other side of it.
Fair enough. Quick wrap up here. That's all the games. We got through there pretty rapidly, pretty good, pretty efficiently. What about quarterback? Who's your top overall play, and who do you like kind of more in the mid-range?
So for me, the top overall play in cash games would probably be Carson Wentz and Alex Smith, more so for GPPs. And my sort of mid-range cheap play is basically the same guy. All Jimmy G all day, baby.
Nice. I like it. My top overall play this week is Phil Rivers. I really like that game. I think Washington's going to score enough where Rivers is going to have to stay involved in the game for all four quarters. In the mid-range, I like Case Keenum a little bit. I know the matchup's tough, but I think that, again, I think they're going to have trouble running the ball against Carolina, so I think they're going to throw the ball. I think Thielen and Diggs both play well. I also like Jared Goff a little bit. We mentioned that game. I think it's a good game script. I don't know which receiver's going to get the balls. Maybe Gurley catching the passes, but I think he puts up enough points to be worthy of that 7,700.
All right. On the fade side, for me, that's Cam Newton. Again, just don't love the matchup against Minnesota here. And sneaky low percentage guys, it's going to be Eli and Dak Prescott. Call me nuts, but like those two. Probably a little bit more Eli than Dak for me this week because I do like the running game of Dallas this week.
Yeah, I like Case Keenum as kind of a lower percentage guy. I don't think he'll have a lot of ownership against Carolina. I'm fading Cam Newton also. I just don't like the way he's throwing the ball and going against that Minnesota defense. I just want no part of it. Running backs, my top overall play is LeSean McCoy. I don't have a lot of guys in the mid-range I love this week. I think Carlos Hyde's probably my favorite, but I think that I'll either go two pricey guys or a pricey guy and a cheap guy.
Yeah, my top overall play this week is going to be Alfred Morris. I talked about him earlier in the game. Yeah, yeah, 6,800. Really like the price. Helps me get in those big boy receivers that I'd like. And if I'm paying up, if I really had to make a strong call, it would probably be Gurley, even against that tough defense. I think he gets it going. McVay gets him in action in a game that'll be close.
Yeah, mine switches to Gurley if Tyrod Taylor doesn't play. I want no part of that offense if Nathan Peterman's playing. On the cheap play side, I really like Gio Bernard at 5,100. I think the pricing came out before the Monday night game, so it wasn't adjusted up based on the Joe Mixon concussion. I think 5,100 if Mixon doesn't play is an absolute steal on Gio.
Yeah, and for me, I guess you can. I wouldn't call him quite cheap, but sort of my mid-range guy here. Lamar Miller is somebody that nobody's really talking about.
Wow.
And obviously, I mean, it's 6,600. He's dirt cheap. It's a great matchup for him. He could get a couple of chances to score from the goal line. And he could be part of that Dez and Mike Evans team because he doesn't have 100 yards running either. So
he doesn't have 75 yards running all year.
Yeah, pretty wild, huh?
Yeah,
but four catches for 38 yards last week. Consistently giving you 2x on the salary, so more of a little of a cash game play. And I think he gets in the end zone this week.
Yeah, I'm a fade on Leonard Fournette this week. After looking at the Seattle run defense stats, I don't want no part there. And he hasn't been especially efficient in the second half of the season. Between sitting and being injured, he just hasn't done a ton, even though he scored last week. Low percentage, I kind of like Peyton Barber. I think that the percentage will stay down now that Doug Martin is active. But I think he's been so much better than Martin. I think the Dirk Cutter has to realize that. At least he hopes. Hope he does. And I kind of think he slides through at a pretty good percentage.
Yeah, my fade is Leonard Fournette as well, and probably going to go a little nuts here and going to fade a little bit of cheap semi-chalk in Jamal Williams because Aaron Jones is back. And on the sneaky low percentage side, I agree with you wholeheartedly on Peyton Barber, but I'm also interested in a little bit of Seattle Mike Davis.
Fair enough. My top overall wide receiver this week is DeAndre Hopkins. Love the matchup against the 49ers. Love the volume he gets. 8,600 priced up, so I'm hoping he doesn't get a ton of percentage with all the kind of mid-range plays, but he Hop's my favorite guy at the top.
Yeah, same here. Top overall play, DeAndre Hopkins. My two mid-range guys, and I'm going to eat the chalk with it here, Tyreek Hill and Josh Gordon. But if I'm looking to sort of pivot off of that, I do like Marquise Goodwin and Adam Thielen very much.
Yeah, I love the mid-range this week. I actually like Mike Evans. I like Larry Fitzgerald. I like Golden Tate if Stafford plays. I like Jameson Crowder. I like Crabtree and Josh Gordon. I'm going to be mixing and matching a lot of those guys, playing two or maybe three of those guys in most of the lineups. If I go expensive running back, I'll go with two of them. If I go cheap running back, I'm going to go with three of those guys. I love the mid-range this week at receiver.
What about on the cheap end? For me, it's sort of going with the crowd here again, but perhaps his ownership will be somewhat muted after the hype fading on him a little bit and it being a tough matchup, at least perceived to be so, D.D. Westbrook. So he's my cheap play. My fade this week is going to be Robbie Anderson.
My fade this week is Devin Funchess. I just don't like the matchup against Xavier Rhodes, and I just don't trust Cam right now, even though
Funchess... You hate him! He's your weekly fade.
He is, and has not worked well, very well. Looked great for three quarters last week and then bad. But on the cheap side, I like Marquise Goodwin, still under 6,000. I love D.D. Westbrook also, so kind of on the same page with you there. And my sneaky low percentage play, I really like Demaryius Thomas this week at 6,300. I don't think anybody's going to go back after two horrible games. Everybody's talking about it. Trevor Siemian is. I like Demaryius to make a couple plays this week.
Yeah, for me, sneaky low percentage guys, it's going to be Dontrell Inman, who I like once again, very cheap. It's Stephon Diggs, a little higher price there, going back to the well on him. And I don't know, this could be a sucker play, sort of chasing it back. But Trent Taylor, it's just the matchup is just way, way too good. And I think he's going to get a lot of targets this week.
Jimmy G.
That's right. That's our boy this week.
Tight end. My top overall is Travis Kelce. In the mid-range, I really like Hunter Henry a lot this week.
For me, I think if Shepard is not at full strength, I do like Evan Ingram. Definitely more of a tournament play. Obviously, if you're paying up, I think everyone's going to be going Kelce. But that's what sort of makes Kelce a little bit of a fade for me in tournaments because I'm going to want to construct my roster differently this week. And then mid-range cheap guys, it's going to be Doyle and maybe a little touch of Witten. along with Steven Anderson and Burton. If I had to choose, probably go with Steven Anderson over Burton this week.
Yeah, if I had to choose, I think I'm going to go with Burton just based on the game flow in that game and based on Carson Wentz throwing the ball. But I do like both guys. I think they're both really interesting. And at min price, it's going to be tempting to play definitely a lot of lineups with both of them. You can get a lot of stuff in if you play those guys. On the defensive side, my top overall play, I like Green Bay going against the Browns. A little bit of bad weather this week in Cleveland, too. It looks like it might have some slow flurries. It's going to be cold. I like DeShone Kizer do all kinds of bad things in the snow.
sounds about right. Sounds like somebody that is going to get a lump of coal in their stocking for Christmas. My top overall play, I know it's going to be the Arizona Cardinals playing at home against Mariota, who I agree with you, who has not looked good. Did not throw any picks last week, but he did throw six in the two weeks prior. They're just way, way, way too cheap. So that's my play there. Also, if you want to go cheaper play, I'm into the Vikings. I'm into their defense as a whole, and it's Cam Newton, Funchess, and those guys making some mistakes this week.
Yeah, I like Minnesota too. I kind of like Dallas as a sneaky low percentage play. I know you like Eli this week, but Eli with a week off, Dallas is kind of coming on a little bit. DeMarcus Lawrence is really beasting on the defensive end. I think they're getting a lot of sacks against the Giants. I think Eli makes a couple of mistakes. I think Dallas I think they're 4,400 is a sneaky low percentage play. Not a lot of people are going to be on.
Yeah, and another. I don't know if you'll call him a sneaky low percentage play, but the Seahawks, and I think Bortles has looked great. I don't want to say great. That's strong for Bortles at any at any given time. He's looked better. His fantasy scores have been up, but I just see him making a couple mistakes against the Seahawks, and so I kind of like them as a sneaky low percentage play this week.
Yeah, I'm fading Cincinnati this week. I think I've seen a couple sites where they're the number one defense going against the Bears. I just don't think the Bears do enough risky stuff to play there, so I'm going to fade that one. Anybody else that you want to talk about before we get out of here for week 14?
No, just one sort of final thing, since we always touch on him on the kicker side. I do like me some Harrison Butker for the Chiefs against the Raiders. So I think we'll are just going to get scored on a ton, and that's going to be with the leg of Butker as well. Josh Lambeau, like him a lot in this game for the Jags, played him last week as well. And then Matt Prater, he owes after only 2 points. He heads to Tampa, into the warmth of Tampa Bay. Those are my three kickers that I'm looking at this week.
My sneaky kicker this week, since you mentioned a couple of the guys I like, my sneaky kicker this week is San Diego, Travis Coons at 4,500 min price.
Yeah, I could see it if he can hit it. Yeah, if he can get that that Cleveland sort of funk off of him, he should be fine.
That is true too. If I had to go upscale a little bit, I'd go with Greg Zuerlein in a game I think is gonna be high scoring. Thanks yes. Everybody for listening to the RotoWire DFS podcast for week 14. We greatly appreciate you listening. Again, if you enjoy listening to us, please rate or review the podcast. We greatly appreciate that. You can go to iTunes. There's a little button on the you click ratings reviews. A little button that says write a review. If you could write a quick review and say some good things about us, give us some good stars. If you do like it, we greatly appreciate that. Other than that, hope everybody has a fantastic week and scores a lot of points this week. Everybody take care.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.